Yeah, Josh woke up sick, and then after second service informed me that he was teaching tonight on our trip. That actually informed me that I was teaching tonight on our trip. So here I am. So Josh and I do think, you know, I don't know if you've noticed with your parents, but husbands and wives are different, right? And so Josh does things different, right? He's a facts guy and a visual guy, and I'm a writer and a storyteller. So somehow tonight we're just going to mesh the two, because this is his slideshow, as you can see, Pastor Josh. So I just looked at it about an hour ago. So we'll see what's in store for us tonight. This is the most unprepared I've ever been, but we're just going to trust that God doesn't need my preparation, okay? So, Burundi, Africa, if you didn't know, we went, okay? My family, Josh and our three boys, 9, 7, and 4. A couple of questions I'll answer right away, because I know you're already thinking of it. How long is the flight? Did you really take a four-year-old across the ocean? Yes, we did. It was a long flight. it takes about 24 hours to get there and back. And yes, it's very long with layovers and everything. There's a eight-hour flights, and there are two 8-hour flights. So it's a long ways. So we went for 2 weeks. Grace Spray also went with us. Josh has a slide in here about that. So I'm doing it already. Sorry. So we went with an organization called Sister Connection. Okay, I used to work with Sister Connection. 14 years ago is when I started, and so why that's how that was our connection with them is to Burundi. We went to Burundi, Africa. If you're not sure where it is, there it is in Africa, and that's a picture of Burundi. So we flew into the capital city there, Bujumbura, and then we drove up country, beautiful drive, about 4 hours up to Gitega, right there in the center. Okay, so that's part of what we did. So Sister Connection works with widows and orphans in Burundi, Africa. In Burundi, you're considered an orphan if you don't have a dad. Okay, so Burundi had a 12-year civil war starting in 1994. If you're familiar at all with the movie Hotel Rwanda, the president of Burundi was shot down at the same time as their president. So both of those wars in Rwanda and Burundi started at the same time. Okay, so Burundi's, however, lasted for 12 years. So there are a lot of widows, and there are a lot of kids without dads now. So that was part of how they started working with widows and orphans. And my old boss at the time, when I worked with them, she grew up in Burundi as a missionary kid there. And so she knew these people who were in the war. Okay? She grew up with a lot of them. She knew the people who were dying. She knew the people who were fleeing the country because of this war. And she reached out to one of her good childhood friends, and she just called her up and said, "What are we going to do? Because there are so many widows and there are so many orphans in this country now. What are we going to do?" That was it. That's how the organization started. It was not started, "Hey, let's start this great organization and help thousands of widows." It was, "Who do we know and how can we help them?" That was it. So Denise starts sending money to Joy. That's how it started. Okay, and Joy starts distributing money to the widows and to their children for food, for whatever they needed. Okay, so Sister Connection was born. Let's see. Oh, yep. Next slide. There's Grace. Grace went with us. That's her rocking her core shirt. Okay. For those of you middle schoolers, right, we got to meet Zephaniah, the widow that our middle schoolers sponsor. Okay, so that was a pretty neat. You see what she's wearing there too? She's wearing that sort of outfit because of you guys, because you have been giving for the past year. So any of you who have ever put money into that offering box upstairs for her, You have helped her. Okay? You have helped clothe her. Those gifts that she's holding right there, that's because of you guys. Okay? And her children are being educated because of you, because of your giving. So that was a really neat time to be able to meet with her. All right, next slide. So if you haven't heard of the Burundi Drummers, you're about to hear it in a second, because I did notice Josh has some videos in here. So we got to see the Burundi Drummers. They're kind of an iconic thing for Burundi. Next slide has a few pictures of them. They're pretty cool. If you look at them on YouTube, if you like drumming, it's pretty neat to watch them. So next slide, I think, is a video. Yeah, it works. So there's just some traditional dance there also, and then the Burundi Drummers. My favorite's the little kids who get in there and they drum too. There's a few different groups of Burundi drummers, and they just happened to be, I think they were actually just practicing, and then they saw that we were there and they put on a show for us, so it was pretty neat. Next slide. So this is where we were up in Gitega, as I showed you on the map, and this is the church that is almost finished. It's mostly finished, at least finished enough in the inside that we got to meet there. We did four camps. So there's a widow's retreat. 880 widows were in attendance, and then there was a young adult, young children, so ages 5 to 12 years old, had camp, like a little VBS camp, at the same time that their moms were there. And then we had a teen camp, and then we had a young adult orphan camp. So all of these kids that were there, all of these were all orphans, kids who don't have a dad. The widows who were there, they, in Burundi, they're looked down upon in society. They're considered as worthless. A lot of them are told that they're worthless. That is just a cultural thing for them, that you're just nothing. If you don't have a dad, or if you don't have a man in the house to provide and protect, then you're looked down upon, you're taken advantage of, and so just so you get a grasp on that. So next slide. This is the widows retreat. I said 880 widows were in there, and what they did, all of these widows were sponsored widows, right? So I talked a little bit about how the middle schoolers are sponsoring a widow. So they are given $35 a month. They feed, educate their children, clothe, get better clothes, and they're usually learning a trade of some sort still, or doing some sort of job on their own also. It's not just a handout for them. They're actually doing something also. So all of these widows that were able to come are sponsored widows. They're dressed beautifully, and our church was able to send some money because of your mission dollars. I hope you're giving to the missions fund, even you younger kids. And we were able to bless them with some scarves. But because of just the way that Christians are, especially in Burundi, when they receive something, they want to give, right? They don't just want to hold on to the comfort that they've received. They want to pour it out on others. So at the bottom there in the picture, the bottom right one, is a whole bunch of beans spilling out, some baskets, rice is there. So the widows came and they gave beans and rice and the baskets for the poorest of the poor. The poorest of the poor is called the Batwa people. They used to be, they still are, like very segregated from the culture. They used to not let people in, but we were able, you'll see in later slides, we were able to go and hand out that food to them. That was a pretty neat experience. So next slide is the younger kids, the younger orphans camp. You see in the bottom right there also, our church, the money that they gave for the scarves for the widows went above and beyond, and we were able to purchase some notebooks for the students, for all the children. So all of the kids received notebooks, which to you guys is no big deal. So what? It's back to school, I get another notebook. For them, it means education. For them, it means that they get an opportunity, a huge opportunity, to really change their lives. Okay, so we were able to bless them with some notebooks there. Next slide is actually a video also, the kids worshiping. I love the little kids worshiping. I love their enthusiasm. So the next one is about the teen orphans. So this was you middle schoolers age more. I think this was, well, I guess both of you, because it'd be ages 13 to 17 years old are these kids who are at this camp. We played soccer with them too. So that's down in the left-hand corner. That's the soccer field full of dust. And so next slide is a video of them. That's a youth worship time led by the youth. So you guys have a worship band, right? But I want to see that next week, okay? I want to see all of you start coming up, and then the adults had to come stop the kids because they wouldn't stop worshiping. they just love it. They love music. The next slide. So this was the young adult orphans. This is a little bit older than some of you, but they were ages 18 to 25. And to us, that might seem kind of interesting, maybe, that young adults would want to get together and have like a VBS, basically. But for these kids have been through a lot. Most of these children had still been through war, right? And for them to have the opportunity to come together and to meet other orphans and to be together in worship and to be together as fellow believers was a huge blessing and honor for them. So we taught a lot. Josh taught, I think, 11 times the whole trip, 11 or 12. I taught a couple times, and it was a very, very neat experience with those kids. So next slide. So this is Mount Hope. This is my favorite part of the trip was this day, actually. Our bus broke down. It didn't really break down. The clutch was starting to go, and so they decided to take it in to get it fixed, and it took 5 hours. So we were stuck on a mountain, and this mountain, though, is a part of Sister Connection. We went there for a tour of it to see what's going on there, what they're doing with it. So I was able to be there in the beginning, 14 years ago, when we were given this mountain by the governor. We were given this land by the governor of Gitega, who was a Muslim, and who knew that Sister Connection was going to preach the gospel, who knew that we were Christians, and said, this is your land. This is your mountain, right? And we just said, we give it to God. And I was there when there was nothing on the mountain, and it's 20 acres of land, and they have a couple of buildings already on there. Their goal is to do training, so they want to train, they are training the widows in sewing and basket weaving and soap making and different things that they can learn, and then they can go out and start supporting themselves, and then ideally, like continually, to be teaching the orphans. To be teaching the orphans a job, a trade. Not all of them are going to be able to go to school, even with the support. And even if they do go to school, they still, being able to learn a trade for free, to be able to go to this mountain and learn something like mechanic, you know, becoming a mechanic or bike repair, many different things that they're learning there. They had, while we were there, they had first aid training on the mountain there. So many different things are happening on the mountain, and just a really good time. We ended up just hanging out anywhere you go, because you're the only white person, you're followed, and they love to touch your skin and feel your hair, and just you're different. So they kind of want to just check you out and see sometimes they feel your skin to see if it comes off on them. And so we were followed by this group of kids, and we just sat there and we just loved on them for the 5 hours that we were stuck there. I got out my Kirundi English Dictionary, and we were trying to practice with them and play games with them, teach them Jesus loves me, or we ended up ripping paper out of our notebooks and making paper airplanes and playing with them. So that was probably my favorite day, was the one where it was unexpected. So next slide is also Mount Hope. On Mount Hope, they have a water system there. So they have clean water there, which doesn't sound like a big deal here. That is a huge deal. They have solar power, so they have electricity. It's a big deal. We had sometimes water pressure where we stayed, and sometimes no water pressure. So you sometimes went to bed very dirty, or you went to bed semi-dirty. There was really no in between at all, because you didn't really have much water pressure. So they have a purified water system there, and there's actually water pressure. So ideally, someday they're working to build a sort of a house. I'd call it more like a motel for us. And they're hoping that when teams come, like when we come, that we would stay there instead of staying at a hotel, and be able to have our own meals cooked there, and a little bit maybe nicer amenities sometimes. And so that's one thing that they're working on doing there. Next one. Oh, this is a video. So I told you how the widows gave rice and beans and baskets and different things, and we were able to deliver it to this village. This village who used to be they're completely secluded from society, but they're now starting to welcome people in, and they're welcoming Sister Connection in slowly. So there's some widows that are within Sister Connection in this village, but that's the welcome that we got when we arrived there. They were ecstatic, and you can tell that some of the pictures, I think, in here, you can tell that they're the poorer ones in society. So we were able to deliver. The next slide is another video of them dancing and welcoming. Yeah, notice, I just hope that you notice, like, some of them with the torn shirts, like, everybody's got, not a lot of them have shoes, different things, that it is the poorest of the poor in that society. And that top left is their bags that we put together of the beans and the rice, and my boys just jumped in there and started handing them out, and they just thought that was hilarious. So I don't know why exactly, but the boys loved it and loved passing out the food to them. And it means more than just a meal. It's not just a meal. It's not like here we eat, right? We eat all the time. All the time. I have boys, I know. But there it's life sustaining. Right. So just really blessed and thankful we had that opportunity to go there. This next slide is a video of in the village in one of the houses there that you'll see.
And a $1 million view.
Yeah.
Josh is a little shaky, so don't get seasick.
Figure out the economy.
Hey, you can see the entire village is following us everywhere we went. It's just an honor for them that guests would come, that anybody would come to see them and to visit with them and just love on them. The next slide, I believe, yes. Different toys that they have. It looks a lot different than ours. I like the scooter. I've never seen anything like that. I saw that this trip. That's a pretty neat little scooter. I'd love to see any of you go home and try to make one like that. See if it works. I don't know. And then they have the stick and the tire, and my boys just love trying to do that. None of us were very good at it, but we tried. And we got to play soccer with them too. So every day while we were at camps, we threw out a couple, like 10 soccer balls or something, and we just let everybody go crazy and play soccer. They loved it. They usually play with trash rolled up. They roll up trash and they make it into a soccer ball. So having an actual soccer ball to play with was a highlight for them. The next slide has a video, I think, of, I don't know if it's Neil, we'll see, of Neil trying to play with a toy or one of the kids showing him how to play with a toy. Mm-hmm. They're so much better at that than we were. The next video is pretty fun. This was the day at Mount Hope when we didn't have much to do and we were just playing with the kids. Well, you just make it up and you start dragging each other across the floor. So that's the next video. So maybe that'll be a game sometime. You guys can work with Josh on trying to play that one sometime. That African game where you drag each other across the floor. The next slide, we visited widows in their homes. So Sister Connection has an initiative also that's a home building. Most of these widows were homeless. So it is $750 to build a widow a house. That's really nothing for us. This bottom right picture is the house. That's the house. And that's where they sleep. That's where they live. That's everything. You can see it's they're probably gonna get rained on during rainy season. But this was a typical house. And then the left and top picture is a houses that Sister Connection had built for them. So the next slide has some more pictures of some of the different huts that they had. And then the next slide, we also get asked all the time when we get back of what did you guys eat? Well, we eat a lot of rice and French fries. They do have French fries there, but they ate a lot of vegetables, rice, fish. There's some fish right there. And I believe, yeah, the next slide is just a video of them cooking, like how they would cook. This is their kitchen, the next video.
What are they doing in there, bud?
Okay.
The thing that surprises a lot of people is
that's so cool.
It looks a little bit different than your kitchen at home, probably. So the next slide is about our translators and our friends. So that bottom left picture, that's my friend Francine. She's my sister, in case you can't tell. You can't tell the resemblance. She is my Burundi sister. Met her 13 years ago, and just love these people. Love their faith. When you go on trips like these, you really get to know the interpreters the best because they're the only people you can talk to. So it's a pretty neat experience. Next slide. Everybody also asked, what kind of animals did you see? Because obviously you were in Africa, so you were almost eaten by a lion. That was not true. There are no lions in Burundi, I hope. I didn't see any, at least. Never have heard of any. There's hippos. There's crocodiles. There's that crazy crane. He's an Eastern crown crane that just walks around at one of the restaurants that we go to. So there's a couple of them that just walk around at the restaurant. And then the geckos and the lizards, my boys love those, and found some friends to go, some Burundi friends that they went hunting geckos with and had a blast. So not that many animals, but we did go on a semi-safari and got to see some hippos and some crocodiles there. Next slide is a national park there. It's called Carrera Falls. I had never been to it before, so I was excited to go see this. They have no, it's not like a national park here where there's safety measures. There are no safety measures at all. I could go climb that waterfall if I wanted to, and my boys did start doing that, and it's pretty crazy. So no guardrails at the top or anything, so if you want adventure, go to Burundi and go check out Carrera Falls. Next slide. I think we've just got two more. So there's another slide in there that I didn't have. Okay, that's okay. There's a picture of all the cute kids. So so one thing that Josh, I know, really wanted to hit on, and he and I were both burdened with this trip, was sponsorship, is that it's not really easy. It's not a big deal for us to spend $750 to build somebody a house. That sounds really cool, and that is awesome, and I'm not against that any whatsoever. I think that's wonderful that we're giving shelter to these people. But every home that we went to visit was from unsponsored widows. So they got this great roof over their heads, but they're starving. They're struggling to survive. They're not sure if their children are going to make it another week because they can't fill their bellies. There's no way that they could send their kids to school because if you don't eat, you're very tired, you're malnourished, you can't focus. So sponsorship was something big on Josh and I's heart when we were there. It always has been, but it just amplified this trip even more. So we wanted to challenge you guys, okay? I know that you, the middle schoolers, were so proud of you guys in the way that you've been sponsoring Zephania. We want to challenge you guys individually, as groups, whatever it is, you students. I'm not talking to the leaders right now. Leaders, if you listen, that's great. I'm talking to you students. 1 Timothy 4:12 says, don't let anyone look down on you because you are young, but set an example. That's what I want to challenge you guys to do tonight. You guys set an example. $35, even to a middle schooler who doesn't have a job, is still not a lot of money for us. It's the Starbucks that your mom and dad get you. Say no and say, hey, could I have that $5 or more to get that drink? Instead of getting that drink, save it. Save it and give it. Get together with some of your friends. Challenge them. Hey, If you give some money each month, I'll give some money each month. How can we do this? Okay? You high schoolers who have jobs, this isn't a lot. Oh my goodness, to go to a movie anymore, it cost almost $35 for me just to get in. It's just not that much to go out for a meal. I know a lot of you go to Taco Bell. I know Grace, you'll be at Taco Bell, so you know it'll take quite a few Taco Bell trips to get up to $35. But the video games, right? I don't have any clue how much a video game is, but I'm sure it's more than $35. I'm guessing half a tank of gasoline. Right? Those are some of the things that Josh had come up with. But you could do those things. Those things are not bad. They're not wrong. It's not wrong for us to spend on those things as Americans. We have it. It's okay. But I want you to know. I want you to be aware. Because I think, you guys, it's not that you're young and ignorant and that you don't want to do anything. It's sometimes that we don't know. You don't know about the need. And if you know about the need, I truly believe, especially you middle schoolers and high schoolers, you are going to act. So I challenge you guys to act, because I know that it's in you. You want to. You don't just look at these slides and look at these poor people and, oh, well, there's poor people. Some of you will, and that's okay. You'll get there someday. I'll keep praying for you. But some of you will be stirred by it. And I'm glad. It's uncomfortable. It's hard. It's hard to look at. It's hard to see. My most painful memories in life are going to Burundi, Africa, and the things that I've seen and the things that I've experienced, and I would not trade one single bit of it. It has broken my heart over and over and over and over again, and I'm not going to let it stop breaking my heart. If you're stirred, let that stirring keep going. It's okay. Let the Lord move you to do something. I'm not saying you don't have to sponsor a widow. Do something. Okay? Ministry is in your backyard. Ministry is in your own home. Those are the places where it's hardest. I know, I'm a mom. I've got to put up with you people. Okay? We love you guys, but you guys are hard to love sometimes, just as much as us as parents are hard to love. Ministry is still in your backyard, but don't forget. Don't forget about these people. Don't forget that this is actually how the majority of the world lives. We are the minority. Americans, the way we live, we are the minority. How much stuff that we have. How much could you sell? How quickly could you make $35? I bet you could sell $35 every month for a good 3 months, probably. So I want you to know that $35 could go to the care, to the needs of food, clothing, education, and medical care to a widow and her family and her kids. You can change their lives with it. The last slide shows just some videos, pictures, not videos, pictures of some sponsors and meeting their widow, meeting their when we were going to see a widow's home also. And I was able to go on many trips to Burundi. I've been on many trips to Burundi, Africa, and every time my favorite part is when sponsors get to meet their widow. The looks on both of their faces, that top right, that widow could not stop laughing and crying and smiling. She was giggling like a little schoolgirl, because she was so excited to meet the person who would dare to send money to her. What she has been told, she is worthless. She's the refuse of society. And yet some random person in America decided to sacrifice $35 a month. And it might be a sacrifice to you. I'm not saying that it's not. I know that we all have different situations, but I just challenge you to think on it and to know. In James 1:27, it says, "Religion that is pure and faultless is this, to visit orphans and widows in their affliction and to keep oneself unstained from the world." Right? I challenge you guys to think about that, to do that, to not forget about the widows and the orphans. if you answer that call, if you sponsor a widow, if you just ask the Lord to show you more about the widow and the orphan, he will. And you will see his heart for the widow and the orphan. And your heart will break, but you will get to see something of God when you do it. So the last thing I wanted to say too, there are brochures about Sister Connection out on the information desk. If you're interested in any of that, feel free to take some. And then middle school, I wanted to say this before I get middle school. After your small group time, we're going to be going out and doing nine square or soccer. Okay, so that'll be game time for us. Okay, so just so you guys know. So I'm going to close in prayer, and then I think you guys can break up. Is that right?
After you pray, do you want to do Q&A?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I can. Yeah. Yeah. All right. Dear Lord, Lord, I thank you that you are sovereign and control over all things. Lord, I pray that that your word went forth tonight, Lord, even in my insufficiency, Lord, that you are more than enough, Father. I pray that you would stir the hearts of these students. I pray that they wouldn't turn away from it. I pray that they would look into your word and to learn more about your heart for the widow and the orphan. That's not just words, but to learn about what that actually means, what that looks like in other societies and other cultures, and how even here in our own backyards, how can we provide for them? How can we help those that we know, single moms, whatever that might be, Lord? I pray that you would just do a mighty work in these students' hearts, Lord. Draw them to yourself. And Lord, we will praise you in all things. Lord, bless their small group time, and just thank you for your grace and your mercy. In Jesus' name, amen. Yeah, I'll do a bit. Yeah, if anybody has questions, and two, I want you guys to know, feel free anytime. Ask Josh and I. Come over to our house. Our door is open. Not literally, we'll lock it, but you just knock. You just knock, and we'll open it for you. And come in, ask us any questions about this. This is a passion of both of ours, so feel free to, if you're too nervous to ask a question in front of everybody. Yes?
Michelle, how old were you on your first missions trip, and what was maybe one thing either then or now that was kind of your hope or goal going into the mission trip?
Yeah, my first mission trip was in college. It was kind of a mission trip. It was more of a class that I did, and we went to the Dominican Republic. And I was able to go on quite a few different mission trips, but for some reason, Burundi captured my heart the first time that I went. And I think my goal in going was to help. Right? I was going to go in and help, and turns out that God was just going to change my life. I hope that I helped, and I hope that I did something, but he changes your heart. He changes your heart and your passion. He changes you on those, and yeah.
I noticed in a few of your pictures there were others that were not of your group. Were those pictures of their sister corporation?
Yes. Yeah, there were a few others on our trip with us, too. There were, I forget how many. Five others on the trip with us, and they were from, Sister Connection is now based out of Washington State. So they were all from Washington State and from the church there, a couple churches there that help sponsor and work with Sister Connection.
Is Brand the only one that runs?
No, there's about 15 staff now for Sister Connection in Burundi. Yeah, my friend Francine, she does like the finances on that side, and the director, her name's Joy Bucciagnori. So, anyway.
Do the ladies get married again sometimes? Or?
Some of them do. Yeah, some of them do. Yeah, she asked about remarriage. Some of them do. It's not very common, just because of the way that widows are viewed in society.
They leave the village, and that happens, they have to go somewhere else.
Sometimes, yeah. Sometimes they are. A lot of times, the previous in-laws, so they can be treated very poorly by the previous in-laws, by their spouses.
Okay.
spouses, parents, and family in general. So, yes, I'll see.
The last time that you went to Peru, I guess what was the biggest difference that you saw this time versus last time? Did you see an improvement in
yeah. Good question. Because our last trip was 8 years ago. It had been 8 years since I had been there. And you'd think that a ton would change in society in 8 years, but we also had COVID in there, right? Which COVID obviously changed everything for us. But for a third world country, I will never complain about gas prices again because they're paying about $15 a gallon. And they make less than a dollar a day, so figure that out. It hit them very differently. Right? So they're still an incredibly impoverished society, very much struggling. Inflation still hit them the same, but they're not making more. There's less jobs. And one of the good things, on a positive note, that I did see was I used to love driving up country because I could never see any power lines. It was just, which here you see power lines everywhere, but now there, which was really nice at the hotel to not really lose power. So there's a lot more electricity getting to places. So that was the biggest thing that I noticed. I'm still pulling for some time for them to get more water because the water pressure is just never there. You just never have water. So good question. Anybody else? Yes.
What was that? Do you ever get used to the people following you around?
Do I ever get used to the people following us around? You do kind of just get used to it. We had like a house when we were at the camps, because there's 1,000 people at the camps. So it's overwhelming, right? It's very overwhelming to have a constant crowd. The Burundians who know us well, our translators, they help, not protect, I don't want to say, but they know that us Americans, we have a bubble. Burundians don't have a bubble. And so they would help us kind of, if they could tell that, especially my youngest, my four-year-old, he hated when they touched his hair. He'd kind of freak out and yell at them. So we gave him a hat, and that helped sometimes. But you do kind of get used to it, and then we also just have times of reprieve where we just step away, and especially for our boys, that we had a house that we would go to just eat our American snacks and be American away from everybody for a little bit. Yeah. Do we plan on going back soon? We would love to go back, yes. We don't have anything set exactly. Yes?
Can I take you with me?
I will talk to your mom to see if you can come. But yes, yeah, we would love. That was part of our reason for going. We wanted to see what it would be like to bring some of you, especially the middle schoolers who we work with and who sponsor a widow. We wanted to see can we do this? Can we invite families in? And would this work out? So we'd love that. Love for your families to come and experience it too. Yes. Yeah, sorry. Safety, that's a good question. Yeah, safety with my kids. Yeah, I did wonder this time because the last time I went, Josiah was 1 year old and he was very contained at 1 year old. Right? He could walk, but we could grab him. This time, they could be grabbed faster than we could grab them, to be honest. So I don't know. I never really have ever felt that unsafe in Burundi, personally. Some people do, and that's okay. It's very different because there are military and police, and there were a lot of them this time, you know. Grace can attest, there's guys driving with AK-47s in the back of a truck and like grenade launchers and stuff, and you're just kind of like, hey, you know, it's very different, but it's normal there for them, and I've never felt unsafe, didn't feel my kids were in danger, but that's, yeah, that's a serious concern for some people, and we just kind of say, well, for us, it's probably just as dangerous to walk downtown late at night than to go there. So I don't know. That's just how we feel as a family. So, yeah.
It sounded that you talk of villages and gasoline. I mean, there are cars somewhere. Is there a kind of a commercial area where the hotel or restaurants or where those police protect or...
Yeah, there are police protecting. Even at the hotel that we're at, there's a guard. There's a guard everywhere. There's main streets, but we were kind of in the city, and as you go out to the villages, there's nothing. There's no, you don't really see that as much.
Way or how far?
Yeah, 30 miles, anywhere from 15 to 30 miles out. After that, you don't really. Which is hard for them. Some of the widows that live out there, if they have issues, the police don't have cars very much. If they have cars, they don't have gas. So what are they going to do? All right. I think you guys are going to split up now, okay? Yeah, let me know if you guys have any other questions, okay?